Big Island Rendezvous, of course, coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. You know, make sure to make plans now to bring the family out there. So many different exhibits and people to visit with. Right now we have Peggy Rozeski. She is a shoemaker, and she's going to be out at the Big Island Rendezvous. And Peggy, thank you so much for the time.
You're very welcome.
Now, how long have you been going out to the Big Island Rendezvous?
This will be my 20th year out
20th
there.
Year. That is absolutely awesome. Now, for those that are going to stop by and see you, talk about what they'll see. Again, you're a shoemaker, and I'm assuming you're going to show everyone the process of making shoes.
I will be making shoes all weekend. I represent a journeyman shoemaker in the year 1770.
Okay.
I make shoes and boots in the fashion that would have been worn at that time and with the techniques and materials used then.
So, Peggy, if you can just, I guess, as simple as possible, talk about what the process was to make shoes and boots during that age. Obviously, things are a little bit different nowadays, but what was some of the basic process to making shoes back in those days?
Well, many things are still the same. What made the major difference was is now we have sewing machines. We didn't have sewing machines back then, so everything was by hand. So I prepare the last, the form around which a shoe is made, exactly the same way as you would now. I make it custom fit to the person. I shape the last so that if you have bunions or toes that stuck out or a high instep or a short foot, I would work around that and create a shoe specifically to fit you. The insole would be attached to the last, the upper part of the shoe then sewn by hand to the insole, along with a welt. Then the outsole is stitched to the welt and heels applied. All of leather, all hand stitched.
Oh, very cool. Again, Peggy Rozeski, shoemaker. She's going to be out at the Big Island Rendezvous coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Make sure to bring your family out there. And Peggy, what do you love the most about being out at the Big Island Rendezvous? Again, you said 20 years of doing this. What do you love the most about it?
The children.
Yeah.
I see children for school days on Thursday and Friday, and their curiosity and wonderment, and they teach me as much as I teach them, because they'll ask questions that I have to go back and research or I have to think of a way to present it so they actually understand it. So the children are the best part of it all.
Make sure when you're out at the Big Island Rendezvous again this weekend, Peggy Rozeski, shoemaker. Make sure to stop by and visit with Peggy. And thank you so much for the time, and have a great weekend out at the Big Island Rendezvous.
Looking forward to it. See you all there.
We're now going to speak with Lonnie Hagen, the gold prospector out at the Big Island Rendezvous. And Lonnie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So, Lonnie, let's talk about your role at the Big Island Rendezvous as the gold prospector. What are the students and families going to learn when they stop by and see you?
Well, they're going to learn a lot of things about prospecting. I take them from, teach them where the first gold rush was at in the United States. I won't give that up on the radio right now because then it'll take away from my story, and I give prizes to the kids that guess it right.
Oh, very cool. Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, talk about the history of prospecting. How long is, or when did that start, those looking for gold?
Well, it actually, in the United States, the first gold rush happened, and I shouldn't say this, but hopefully the kids aren't listening. They're probably in school, but 1800 in North Carolina was the first gold rush. And it moved south, and then from there it moved out west to California. What I teach the kids are that when the prospectors are out looking for gold, they're looking for the big nuggets. They're not looking for the small stuff. So if they don't find anything big, they move on to the next spot. They travel light, so they won't carry much, maybe a pick and a shovel and a pan. If they had a horse, that's a benefit. If not, they walked it or hitched a ride someplace to get there. But so I teach them how to pan for gold, what to look for gold. I show them fool's gold, what gold looks like from Alaska. We even have gold here in Minnesota. I teach them about the 1865 gold rush that up at Lake Vermilion. And I've actually panned for gold here in Minnesota, and I've got four little pieces of gold from Minnesota.
Lonnie, can I ask what part of Minnesota you're in?
You sure can. The land side.
<That's>...
Now, most gold prospectors won't tell you where they find their gold because, you know, you'd be honing in on their rights.
I got gotcha.
Their claims.
I got gotcha. You.
We don't have enough gold here in Minnesota for me to worry about it. It was over on the Zumbro River where I've got my gold from.
Lonnie Hagen, the gold prospector out at the Big Island Rendezvous this weekend. And Lonnie, how many years have you been out at the Big Island?
I think it's 8 or 9. I can't remember. It seems like every year it's another year and I don't keep track. But yeah, I think it's 8 or 9, my daughter had told me once.
And Alani, what do you enjoy the most about being out there?
Teaching the family, the kids, especially the younger ones. They get really excited when they see a flash of gold in their pan. and I make some fake gold for them to take home with them if they want it.
Oh, very cool. Again, Lonnie Hagen, the gold prospector out at the Big Island Rendezvous. Him and so many others will be out there educating the students and the families coming up this weekend. Alani, thank you so much for the time and enjoy the weekend.